I'm hearing no one else. Thank you. And we are ready to start the meeting. Madam Mayor.
Okay. I will call this regular meeting of the Bethel City Council to order. The date is October 27th, 2020. It is 6:32 p.m. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag of the United States of America,
Republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. It's time for roll call. Clerk Strickler, please.
Thank you. Councilmember Henderson.
Present.
Thank you. Councilmember Springer.
Here.
Councilmember Leary.
Here.
Councilmember Franco.
Present.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Here.
Mayor DeWitt.
Present.
And for the record, Councilmember Barr is running a bit late this evening, but he is planning on joining us soon.
Okay, that brings us to people to be heard. Just as a reminder, each person who has signed up has 5 minutes to speak. The first person, and I believe the only person right now on our list, is Jamie Morgan. Jamie, if you could please state and spell your name, and you will have 5 minutes.
Yes, thank you. My name is Jamie Morgan, JamieMorgan. And if possible, I would love to share my screen presentation.
I think we're all set for you to go ahead and share your screen, Jamie, when you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
Jamie, are you still with us?
Oh, yes, I am. I was having an issue. Trying to pull it up. Can you see my screen?
I'm sorry, not yet. Oh, here it is starting now. Okay.
I am so sorry. There we go. I hope you can see that.
We can.
Okay. I hope I don't have just 2 minutes left. But anyway, good evening. My name is Jamie Morgan. I am the Government Relations Regional Lead for the American Heart Association. And part of my territory is covering Alaska and Alaska public policies. And I am happy to be here this evening to talk about sugary drinks and the impact of overconsumption of sugary drinks and one policy solution. And specifically, the American Heart Association is supportive of the mayor's proposal to tax sugary drinks. So that is part of the reason I'm here today. And I'll start by saying, you know, I will share these slides later, and they do look stat heavy. But I do think it's important to share all of this information, but I will, you know, kind of highlight things, and I won't read everything, so you don't have to worry about that. But as I think you know and have heard, sugary drinks are the leading source of added sugar in our diet. And in Alaska, it's very prevalent. 23% of Alaska adults and almost 50% of Alaska high school students drink one or more sugary beverages every day. And it is higher in your region, with 75% of youth drinking 75% having 75% intake. And also you see a high consumption among very young, with 31% of Alaska three-year-olds drinking sugary drinks every day. And the Heart Association recently did a study, and you see this graphic here, which I think is very compelling, and that on average, children are consuming over 30 gallons of sugary drinks every year. So enough to fill a bathtub. So why do we worry about sugary drinks? The AHA recommends that children have no more than an 8-ounce sugary drink a week. But as I've mentioned, children are consuming more than that, at times even 10 times that amount. And the graphic to the right, you will see, maybe you've seen this before, similar graphic, just shows you how many teaspoons of sugar are in a variety of beverages. And a lot of folks may not know that. You may think, okay, I know this is a sugary drink, I will be drinking some sugar, but you don't necessarily know that in a soda, you know, there are 16 teaspoons of sugar. It's not like we would sit down and eat 16.
You have about 15 seconds left.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So I've mentioned the health impact, you know, the impact on heart disease and stroke is great with overconsumption of sugary drinks. And the key policy solution that we think will help drive down sugary drinks is a sugary drink tax of at least 2 cents per ounce. Right, just
okay. That's your 5 minutes, unless a council member wishes to give you more time.
This is CC, I so move. Sorry, I would like to give her more time.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Franco. Is there a second?
This is Councilor Leary. I'll second that to let her finish the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Council Member Leary. We'll go ahead and have a vote on this. Everyone in favor, please say aye.
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 Any signs of opposition, please say nay. Okay. You can have an additional up to 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I now know it goes very quickly. So the health impact of sugary drink consumption is grave. We know that it increases a person's risk of developing heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and tooth decay. Heart disease is the number one killer of Americans, and I know tooth decay is a particular concern in your region. Now, just honing in, I work for the Heart Association. Recent report shows that 40,000 deaths every year are attributed and caused specifically by consuming too many sugary drinks. So, you know, addressing this issue and the impact of overconsumption of sugary drinks, there are a number of policy options, but one that the American Heart Association advocates for and we have seen work is a sugary drink tax. And we recommend a sugary drink tax of at least 2 cents per ounce and having revenues go back into the community for, you know, can be used for a number of programs. So opportunities for increased physical activity, healthier food in schools, initiatives to prevent diabetes and other chronic diseases, or maybe an educational campaign. And it's really important to target investment of the revenues in those communities that are disproportionately affected by the conditions caused by sugary drinks, because there is that nexus. You can see that the consumption and rate of use will decrease and prevent chronic diseases. And by raising the price, there will be a consumption of sugary drinks. Like we've seen with tobacco taxes, you see a direct correlation with the reduction of consumption of tobacco products. So in places where sugary drink taxes have passed, evidence shows that they work. Critical revenue to fund programs and policies to improve health have been funded. we see that consumption is reduced and the economic impact that the industry says will happen has not shown to be true. And I will share a project brief that was recently completed by the Choices Project, and it specifically looked at an Alaska state sugary drink tax of 3 cents per ounce, and the results there showed tremendous benefit in that the tax would prevent thousands of cases of childhood and adult obesity and prevent chronic diseases that we know are caused by sugary drinks. So I will stop there, because I'm sure I'm almost at 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you so much for your presentation. It's very much appreciated. And has anyone else joined us who wishes to speak under People to be Heard? Okay. Hearing no one, we're at agenda item 5, approval of consent agenda and regular agenda. For members of the public who are following, there are some items listed on our agenda that have an asterisk. These items are consent agenda items, which means that they tend to be considered general and might be approved by council through the approval of the consent agenda. So any one member of council can remove these items from the consent agenda for council to review and take action on. Otherwise, the item is passed on the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent and regular agenda?
So moved.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I move. Second.
Oops, I heard a first, but I didn't hear who that was. Who was the first?
Sorry, Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. And Councilmember Springer, was that a second?
That was.
Okay, great. Does anyone have anything they want removed from the consent agenda?
Mayor DeWitt, this is Vice Mayor Hansen.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
I'd like to remove Resolution 20-18 from consent agenda, please.
Great, that is agenda item 10.5, resolution 20-18 is now removed from consent agenda. Does anyone else have anything they want off the consent agenda? Hearing no other items, are there any other amendments to the agenda?
Mayor DeWitt, I would like to make a motion to amend the agenda to move new business item 10.5. which is resolution 20-18 to be the first item of business under new business, as we have some members from the YKHC team here to discuss it. And as a courtesy to them and their time, I'd like to move it to the front of our agenda for new business. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. Is there a second?
This is CC, I second that.
Thank you, Council Member Franco. So the item on the item that we are voting on is the motion to amend the agenda to move new business item 10.5, resolution 20-18. Is there any other discussion on this item? Hearing none. Everyone in favor of moving this item to... One second here, let me find it. This would go to the top of new business. Please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. We have an amended agenda. Now back to the main motion, approval of consent and regular agenda. We have a motion and a second. Any further amendments to the agenda? Okay, let's go ahead and have the vote on the amended, on the agenda and consent agenda. Is and all those in favor of approving the agenda and consent agenda, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any signs of opposition, please say nay. All right, we have an agenda and consent agenda. Next item is approval of meeting minutes. We have the meeting minutes for October 13th and October 19th. These were approved on the consent agenda. And that brings us down to reports of standing committees. For folks who are listening, this is our discussion with the public on the work of our committees and commissions, and the City of Bethel has many opportunities for members of the public to get involved with local government. We have 8 recommending bodies made up of volunteers that meet monthly to consider topics to support the operations of Bethel. If you are interested in applying to one of the many vacancies on these bodies, please contact our city clerk's office. And that brings us to our committee commission reports, item 7.1. We're going to start with the Port Commission, Councilmember Springer.
Well, I haven't been to a Port Commission meeting since I got appointed at the last meeting. I'm anxiously awaiting my first one.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Springer. That brings us to Planning Commission, Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hi there. So our last meeting was actually on October 8th, and we had a council meeting on the 7th, the 13th, I believe. So I covered it there. There wasn't anything on the agenda. And so the next one won't be until Thursday, November 12th. And as always, the public is invited to call in to that 6:30 p.m. And we have the Zoom info available on the City of Bethel website. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Hansen. That brings us to the Community Action Grant Technical Review Board, which is Councilmember Barr. Clerk Strickler, has Councilmember Barr joined us?
We just had somebody join, but I can't confirm that it was Councilmember Barr.
Councilmember Barr, are you online? Okay, we will move back to that report at the end of this. Parks, Rec, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee, that's my committee. And I do not believe, our committee has not met since the last time council met. We meet the second Monday of the month. So that'll be meeting, we'll be meeting again in November. That brings us to Finance Committee, Council Member Franco.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. We had a meeting yesterday. It was too late of notice to add this to the agenda tonight, but I believe there will be a recommendation heading towards council, hopefully for the next meeting, just regarding the policy for council review and approval of budget changes. And I believe currently that is set to $5,000, but we're looking at raising that. The recommendation is $12,500. So that will be coming to council next meeting. I'm looking forward to that. Also currently we are pretty low in membership of the finance committee. So if anyone is interested, please contact the city clerk. We typically meet on the fourth Monday of every month. That's it, thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Franco. Public Works Committee and Councilmember Leary.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. Unfortunately, our meeting last week, I was unable to attend due to work, and I believe maybe at least one other person couldn't attend either. There wasn't quorum. So looking forward to our next meeting in November, if anyone would like to participate. November 18th, 5:30 p.m., and we meet via Zoom. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Public Safety and Transportation Commission, Councilmember Henderson.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. We have not had a meeting yet since my appointment. The first meeting will be next week on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that. And I do understand we still have a seat to fill. So I'm encouraging everybody, anybody who wants to be, to get involved, to please contact the city clerk. Thank you.
Great, thank you, Councilmember Henderson. And before we move on, I do wanna say that we have one body that does not have enough people to hold a meeting, and that's the Board of Ethics. So if anyone is interested in filling a vacancy on that or any other of the committees and commissions, please contact the city clerk's office. Next agenda item is agenda item 8, special order of business. We do have a special order of business tonight, and this is a proclamation proclaiming the month of November 2020 as American Diabetes Month. And I understand that we have Beth Tressler, YKHC Diabetes Prevention and Control Coordinator, with us. One moment while I consult our clerk very quickly. Okay. So can you hear us, Beth Tressler?
Yes, I can.
Great. Would you like the honor of reading the proclamation this evening?
I would be happy to read it. Just clarify for me what you would like.
So on page 23 of the council packet, there is the City of Bethel proclamation that you would be able to read. It says proclaiming the month of November 2020 as American Diabetes Month, and you'd be most welcome to read that. And at least up to the now therefore, which is from my perspective, I'm happy to join in there. Do you have that in front of you?
I sure do. Thank you. And thank you to the...
Oops, we've lost audio on this end.
Can you hear me?
I'm gonna give that like a 50-50. Let's give it one shot, and if your audio continues to cut out, I'll just help you out.
Okay, that sounds like a plan, and I will attempt.
Well, unfortunately, we're having some audio challenges with Beth Tressler's audio. And again, she's the YKHC Diabetes Prevention and Control Coordinator. So I'll just go ahead and read this proclamation. I'm happy to do that. Proclaiming the month of November 2020 as American Diabetes Month. Whereas over 30 million adults in the United States and approximately 11% of adult Alaskans have a diagnosis of diabetes, and whereas every year an estimated 3,000 people in Alaska are newly diagnosed with diabetes, and whereas one out of three U.S. adults has prediabetes, with 90% of these adults being unaware of their disease, and without lifestyle changes, 15 to 30% of those with prediabetes will develop type 2 diabetes within 5 years. And whereas a child has a 1 in 7 chance of developing diabetes if one parent was diagnosed before age 50, and whereas during American Diabetes Month, we recognize the impact diabetes has on people's everyday life, and whereas according to national data, individuals who are in a high-risk category for developing type 2 diabetes are people who do not participate in regular physical activities, are overweight, and are 45 years or older, and whereas during American Diabetes Month, the American Diabetes Association, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and many healthcare providers such as YKHC encourage Bethel residents to join all of us in meal planning to encourage healthier meal choices, increasing physical activity, and reducing stress throughout this month. Now, therefore, I, Michelle DeWitt, Mayor of the City of Bethel, do hereby proclaim the month of November 2020 as American Diabetes Month, and November 14th as World Diabetes Day in Bethel, and encourage all Bethel residents to make healthy life choices and make a personal commitment to eat more healthfully, be more physically active, and reduce stress. And in official recognition whereof, I will hereby affix my signature on this 27th day of October 2020. I want to thank YKHC and the Diabetes Prevention and Control Department for bringing this to the city's attention and for your work on this issue. And Beth, if you're still there, if you have audio, is there anything you would like to add?
Thank you to the council for again recognizing this important month.
All right, and thank you again for all of your work. Okay, this brings us on to item number 9, unfinished business. And as we get into this part of the agenda, I'd like to remind folks who are listening to the meeting on KYUK or have joined the meeting via Zoom that all of the packet material discussed this evening is available on the city's website, which is cityofbethel.org. We have well over 100 pages of work that the city is doing for the citizens here, and you are welcome to pull that up on the city's website, again, cityofbethel.org, and follow along. And I'll try to provide page numbers as I am able. So the next item of business is the public hearing on Budget Ordinance 20-12E, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2021 budget, overtime, administration and finance, support services from accounting firm, stip match or gravel for roads, fleet management software, tablets connectivity, and litigation compensation. One moment while I consult the clerk real quickly. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open this up to the public. Is there anyone interested in speaking on this ordinance under people to be heard? All right, hearing nobody coming forward to speak under the public hearing, I will close the public hearing and ask for a motion to adopt Budget Ordinance 20-12.
So moved. This is Henderson.
Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. There's a motion on the table to adopt Budget Ordinance 20-12-E. Is there a second?
Second. This is Councilor Leary.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Leary. There's a second. Councilmember Henderson, as the maker of the motion, you have the opportunity for first debate. Would you like to discuss this motion?
Not at this time, thank you.
Councilmember Leary.
I guess if we could have Acting City Manager Williams explain this a little bit. I think we talked about this at the last meeting, but maybe just it highlights for anyone that missed our last discussion on this. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Leary. Manager Pete Williams.
The first, it's over time for administration department. There wasn't any.
Sorry, Pete, can you turn on your microphone?
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
The first part of this budget modification concerns the overtime for the finance department. And with all that they have to do over there, we felt it prudent to add some to it. There wasn't any put in the budget for the administrative, the first one, the administrative, or it'd be my department. Scrolling down, outsource services is for Carmen Jackson, the outsourced accountants that we're using in the finance department, Carmen Jackson LLC. One comment I'll make on this is, as Carmen Jackson LLC's team left last Friday for a week, they'll be back here next week, and we sat down and went over what these funds would last, you know, the amount of time it would last is for. It's a total part of this is going to the audited services, but the remaining part will carry us up until the end of December. So I would expect on December 1st, we're going to have to come back and revisit this again for another modification. We're going to end up probably carrying Carmen Jackson LLC up to the end of March, probably not the whole team. I hope not the whole team, but I would imagine two of them will be involved until the audits are done. And we do have the CARES Act audit that will have to be performed. That really hasn't come up for discussion yet. But but I've talked to BDO, our auditors, and we can expect that moving down the road. Coming to this step, we need to make a budget modification on this one. And and I'll skip that just for now, and we can go back to it. The hauled water capital expenditures is for digitizing the water and sewer trucks and how they keep track of their routes. Right now, we're using basically a clipboard with paper, and I've tried to use it, and it's pretty much Greek. So hopefully this will smooth things out and make the routes a little bit quicker and a little bit easier for our workers to follow. Also, hopefully this will connect to the dispatch office, and so he'll know where everybody's at. It's the other goal in this. So backing up to this one, I don't have the explanation in front of me. Do you have that, Michelle? For that budget mod? I thought it was in the packet here, wasn't it?
It is, yeah.
1 second, folks. I do. Do you want me to send this to you?
Oh, hold on. Manager? It'll be here if you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Here.
Saw it in here somewhere. Hey. Okay, we need to amend the Public Works Department Streets and Roads Division capital expenditures for the STIP. And we'll need somebody to strike 675 and put a total of 875 in that line. 500, the approved appropriation of 500,000 was supposed to have carried over from the last year's budget, and the proposed amendment is 335. So the $500,000 is already set aside. The 335,000 is the proposed amendment, and the total is comes out to 875. When I saw this last week, I was a little bit confused because the numbers didn't add up, and what happened was the wrong budget the wrong document got put into the packet. So that's something that I can't do here or make a motion to do, but that's what should happen.
Are there additional council members? Are there more council members who would like to discuss this? And again, we've got a motion on the table to adopt Budget Ordinance 20-12E, and we are in the discussion portion of this. And we have heard from the maker of the motion and Council Member Leary. Are there any additional council members who would like to speak?
Hi, this is Council Member Franco.
Yes, Councilmember Franco.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. Just a brief comment, something that I kind of forgot to mention about the Finance Committee meeting earlier this week, but Carmen Jackson herself was able to attend via Zoom. And so I'm definitely in support of continuing with their services. From what I recall, being on the Finance Committee 2 years ago when we were in the same situation without a finance director and acting finance director, I don't recall who we were consulting with, but they weren't quite as involved. And it seems to, at least from my opinion and the way the meeting went, it definitely is worth this money to get the finance department running well. So I'm in support of this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Franco. Any additional council members? Manager Williams. This is Mayor DeWitt speaking. I have one question for you based on your the items you discussed, and that is the additional funds needed for the STIP project. So you had mentioned that the project had about $500,000 as city match, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it needs another $335,000 more. But then you had mentioned the total being 875, and I was wondering if the match total needed, just to be clear, if a council member chooses to make an amendment to this budget ordinance, if that match needs to be at the 875 or the 835,004.
It should be 875.
875?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mayor DeWitt, I guess I would move to strike. I don't know. I'm getting confused about what this total is supposed to be. I guess I would move to strike the under E3, the total of 675,004, and insert $875,000. Do we need the four?
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Thank you, Council Member Leary. A motion to strike the 830, to strike the 675,000 match and replace with 875. Is there a second?
This is Council Member Franco. I second that.
Thank you, Council Member Franco. Council Member Leary is the maker of this motion. You get the right of first debate.
I guess we just needed to clear. I remember a question about that last time, and there was some confusion about what the total is supposed to be. So if that's what the match we need, then so be it.
Manager Williams, would you like to address that, or would you like to hear from Council Member Franco next before you address that question? You ready?
Yeah.
This is about certainty around the 875 needed match.
Right. That's my understanding of what's needed. So.
Okay. Council Member Leary, any follow-up questions?
No, I don't think so. Do I need to include in that what the proposed amendment amount needs to be, because now that's not going to match up
with the
French. I apologize.
I think we have,
as long as the total is there.
Yeah, no, I think we're fine. Council Member Franco.
Thank you, Mayor DeWitt. I didn't really have any comments. I was just going to defer to Acting Manager Williams. So no comments at this time. Thank you.
Any other council members?
Council Member Henderson.
Yes, Council Member Henderson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm really confused as well, because when you take those two numbers, they don't add up to 675. So are you saying that as long as the two numbers there are there, it doesn't matter what the total comes to? Is that correct?
So I'm going to try to answer this question, and Manager Williams can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is about the city's required match to complete this project, which has changed as the Department of Transportation has gotten further into the project itself and making those estimations. And so we went from an initial $500,000 commitment, I believe, historically, to $675,000. And now the request is to increase that match to $875,000. Manager Williams, am I tracking this correctly?
That's correct.
Okay. Any additional questions, Council Member Henderson?
I guess not. I'll just let it be for now and try and figure out where the other $40,000 is, I guess.
Okay, one second here. Clerk Strickler,
Yeah, just to clarify, so this project is a long-term project. It's going to take a number of fiscal years in order to execute and complete the project. With these being project funds, they roll over from year to year. There is extra funds listed in the budget amount for contingencies, increased in cost or increased in timeline for the completion of the project. So as opposed to coming back to council and asking for an increase to cover those contingencies or to cover the overages that might come in 21's construction season, they're going ahead and asking for that extra amount now.
Okay. Any additional?
Okay, I understand now. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Nope, this is great. Thank you, Councilmember Henderson. Any additional discussion? All right, we have a motion on the table to strike the $675,000 and insert $875,000. That was moved by Leary, second by Franco. We've had our discussion. It's time for our vote. This is a budget ordinance item, and we typically roll call vote ordinances. So I will ask Clerk Strickler to please provide the roll call vote on this amendment.
Thank you. Councilmember Franco.
Sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We have now voted on the amendment. That brings us back to the main motion, adopting Budget Ordinance 20-12, letter E. We have had discussion on that item, and I believe we are ready for a vote. This would be a roll call vote on this budget ordinance. Clerk Strickler.
Thank you. Civic just froze on me. Bear with me for just one second. Thank you. Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Henderson.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Mayor DeWitt.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Budget Ordinance 20-12, letter E, has passed. That brings us to new business. And just a reminder, we've amended the agenda. So item 10.5, resolution 20-18 will be first. This is on page 90 of the packet. The resolution is asking the residents, businesses, organizations, and visitors of Bethel to take immediate measures to stop the spread of COVID-19. This was sponsored by Mayor DeWitt, me, and it is my understanding that we have representatives from YKHC who are here. I see them on the Zoom to discuss this item with council. So,
yeah, Madam Mayor.
Yes. Councilmember Springer.
committee of the whole at this point to allow YK to be able to speak.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Springer. Is there a second?
Second. This is Councilor Leary.
Thank you, Councilmember Leary. Let's go ahead and vote to move into committee of the whole. All those in favor of moving into committee of the whole, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, please say. Thank you. Any opposed, please say nay. All right. We are now in committee of the whole, and we have YKHC representatives here to speak to council about the changes in the last week or two around COVID-19 and spread in the community. After we hear from YKHC, we do have a resolution on the table. So we will need to go back to that resolution 20-18. YKHC, welcome to council. Thank you so much for attending our meeting this evening. And whoever would like to begin the conversation, I'm pleased that you all are here to have a dialogue with us.
Sure. Thank you so much, Madam Mayor. This is Tiffany Zlotesky. I'm the Vice President of Communications here at YKHC. Joining us tonight, we have our President and CEO, Dan Winkleman. We also have our Vice President of Hospital Services, Jim Sweeney, who serves as our Incident Commander, as well as Patty Smith, our Patient Care Services Administrator, who also serves as leadership within our Incident Command Team. We're also joined by Dr. Elizabeth Bates and Dr. Hodges. And I think to get us started, we will turn to Dan to kick us off.
Hello, Madam Mayor. This is Dan Winkleman and council members to speak with you this evening. Yesterday morning, I had a meeting with a management meeting, and we went over the latest rates of positivity and transmission per 100,000 for YK Delta here in Bethel. After that meeting, we met with our school districts and their leadership here in the YK Delta, all seven of them, and we made recommendations based upon our high rates that we're seeing and seeing across the Delta in most communities in the YK Delta. And we recommended to them that we go to a red alert level, and that also based upon the high rates, that we close or go to remote learning for all schools in all villages across the region. There's a number of reasons for that, and Dr. Hodges and Dr. Bates and others can go into those reasons shortly. After that meeting, we also began phone calls and notified 14 tribes and cities in the YK Delta that it was our recommendation based on those rates that they implement a lockdown for a minimum of 2 weeks. And so that was in addition to five villages in the YK Delta that are already in lockdown, for a total of, as of today, 19 villages that are in lockdown across our region for a minimum of 2 weeks. And likely, depending upon what we see in our contact tracing, it'll likely be for a longer period of time than that. I was heartened in speaking with various leadership yesterday. I did get to speak with six different tribes and cities and their leadership. And I was pretty optimistic after implementing this. It's not too late to take action with some strong public health tactics. Some communities I spoke with, they had already instituted their lockdown ahead of us just based on their own observations and working with us in the last week in their communities. That was great to see, and see them being proactive and taking action on their own. We applaud that. In addition to that, I spoke to another village. They already had an incident command team set up and were ready to take action. Two other villages I spoke with, their tribal leadership and city leadership, they had mentioned to me that people were taking mask wearing for the very first time in their community seriously, and that they were seeing that. They had also asked people not to visit households for the first time, and they thought that from their observations that people were heeding those warnings and were actually serious about that. And so that was really good news from those two villages. So there is a reason to be optimistic. If we do all these recommendations together, act together, and do it comprehensively, and not just rely on one or two actions to have success at the end of the day, I think we'll see some progress with these villages that are on lockdown, the 19 across the YK Delta. And then we wanted to schedule a meeting with you. So after we had those meetings, we scheduled a meeting with you tonight to talk about Bethel specifically, and then answer any of your questions about what's happening around the YK Delta itself. So at this time, I think I'll hand it over to Dr. Bates and Dr. Hodges, and they can go into detail on the case rates and what we've seen in the last week or two, bring you up to date on that, and then make some recommendations to you all.
Great. Thanks, Dan. So I thought I would, this is Dr. Ellen Hodges. I thought I would talk a little bit about some of the cases and what we've been seeing so far in Bethel in the past couple of weeks. So we are concerned, of course, about the entire Delta and the case outbreaks that we're seeing predominantly in a few of our villages, but also small little cluster outbreaks in many more villages that Dan just made reference to. But in particular, we're concerned about Bethel. So Bethel currently has 53 active cases of COVID. We have had, since the start of the pandemic, 154 cases. This disproportionately reflects cases in our population, meaning we have more cases in Bethel than you would expect based on our entire YK Delta population. And the most concerning part of this is many of the case investigations and contact tracings that have been completed for these cases indicate that we have widespread community-based transmission right now in Bethel. I think we made an announcement through the media as early as August that we had sporadic community spread, but now we certainly believe it to be widespread community transmission. There are multiple discrete epidemiologically leaked clusters. In addition, there's cases that pop up without an obvious source or connection to previous cases identified. We find this highly concerning and have some recommendations for that you may want to consider in your resolution or in your discussion. One of the recommendations that we would make is to eliminate for the time being in-person dining and have only takeout and delivery for our various restaurants. And the main reason for this is while you're in a restaurant, it is impossible to keep your mask on the entire time as you must take it down to eat and drink. And we believe based on the number of cases that we have in our region right now, and particularly in Bethel, that this represents a risk. It's also important to realize that we have some of the highest case rates in the nation right now, right here in the Bethel census area and the Kuzilbeck census area. If we were a state, we would be the fourth highest state in the nation. And this is just our region, the YK Delta region. I can't overstate the importance of taking action now in order to flatten the curve and spread these cases out so we don't overwhelm our health system. So in-person dining, I would recommend eliminating in-person dining. I would recommend proposing a limit on gatherings outside of the household for in the household being the people that live within the four walls of your house, to limit those gatherings, those in-person gatherings as much as possible. And I think also, lastly, we would recommend sort of a general kind of shelter in place or hunker down recommendation for the community, at least for 2 weeks, like we have recommended in many of our villages that Dan made reference to. And just this is just to sort of prevent the mixing of people as much as possible in order to reduce the transmission of this terribly contagious virus. And so I think that's about all I have to say, and I would hand off to Dr. Bates if she has anything further to add.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Hodges. I think I don't want to repeat too much. The only thing that I would add, you know, our test positivity rate is currently 8.4%, and that's gone up by a third over the last week. And so what that means, you know, if we're above 5%, that means we're at the stage of exponential growth. And so I just think, that it's incredibly concerning. As Dr. Hodges said, our cases per capita is 98, which is, again, by far the highest in Alaska. And as Dr. Hodges said, if we were our own state, we'd be fourth in the nation. You know, these are numbers, but there's a human cost to inaction. You know, we have a very vulnerable healthcare system, and the decisions that we make both individually and as a community make a difference. And so I think adopting this resolution demonstrates leadership on behalf of the city of Bethel and shows that the city is committed to acting in solidarity with public health and also YKHC to address the COVID-19 crisis. Thank you all for letting us speak, and thank you for your leadership.
Okay, thank you to Mr. Winkleman, Ms. Lukowski, Drs. Hodges and Bates. We are in committee of a whole, and I'd like to open this up for council members to ask questions from the YKHC team.
Yeah, Madam Mayor.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So did I hear you right there, Dr. Hodges, Dr. Bates, that you're that you would recommend that Bethel go into a hunker down for a couple of weeks?
Yes, sir. Councilmember Springer, this is Dr. Hodges. Yes, that would be a recommendation that we would make. We recognize that these kinds of resolutions and these kinds of things are unenforceable to some extent. But I think if it comes from your excellent leadership as this city council, I think it may carry weight with some citizens to reduce the mixing of households. So yes, that would be our recommendation.
All right, thank you.
Council Member Henderson, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you so much. What is there anything that we can do beyond this if this doesn't work? In my mind, I've got so much that I want to put out there as far as you can't do this, you can't do that, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want us to be dictators. So I'm wondering, does YKHC have any other ideas past this hunker down if it doesn't work?
Hi, this is Dr. Hodges. And I think we have excellent evidence to suggest that a hunker down order, if properly obeyed sort of by citizens, does work. This has been successful in our villages that have adopted a hunker down, and the citizens of that village have cooperated with that type of order. It has been very successful in reducing the rates of transmission. So I think the next step, of course, is sort of like emergency planning for an overwhelmed healthcare system, which we have certainly been doing since March. But we would really rather not get there. What we'd rather do is prevent the outbreak from overwhelming our healthcare system at this point. And I don't know, Dan, if you have anything else to add for that as far as recommending the lockdown.
Yeah, you know, more education, more outreach to families, businesses, and the like on eliminating gatherings. So in the last month, based on contact tracing out here, and actually what you've seen nationally, it holds true as well, and all across Alaska, we've seen it really go from people bringing it into Bethel. Of course, that's probably still happening, but it's really transitioned from that, from bringing it outside to actually having community spread here in Bethel on a widespread basis and giving it to each other. And if you were to talk to our contact tracers, they'd tell you that on any given week, they see people infecting, they see one person infecting up to 40 other people, you know, one person exposing up to 92 people to the disease. People reporting to work or being directed to report to work by their employers when they're having symptoms and then infecting others. We have numerous cases of that. There's also numerous cases of gatherings happening of all kinds, large and small. What we have also seen that is aligned with what's happening nationally is people getting together after work or in the evenings or on the weekends with family and friends. They remove their masks, let their guards down because their family and friends have been visiting, you know, all summer and there's been nothing happening. And now we're seeing infection at an incredible rate with that, with those groups of folks. And so you basically, if someone is outside your household, you need to treat them like they have COVID. You should be masked up. And that's what we're seeing here in Bethel. So more community and more outreach on that and the different ways that people are getting it. Any ideas around that would always be appreciated. As you probably know, we have our own custom public service announcements and have been doing those. We have one running right now on 5 different radio stations from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, once an hour. Talking about gatherings and avoiding gatherings and mask wearing, but that's really the message that needs to get out in the education and then letting people know what we're actually seeing in our contact tracing. I always find that actually helps. Lets people know what's really occurring and really puts a face on it.
Yeah, and this is Dr. Bates. I think the other thing is that there's no magic bullet, so to speak. You know, hunker down is one prong of a sort of multifactorial approach, and universal masking, again, the avoiding social gatherings, working remotely from home, avoiding things like, you know, we've talked about Halloween last time, avoiding interactions with anyone outside your household. All of these things come together as a sort of uniform strategy and a multi-layered approach. You know, it's not just one thing, it's the combination of things. You know, it's the closing the restaurants for the time being. You know, these strategies have to be taken together. And I think that's when they're the most effective. And we have seen them work. So again, just grateful for the consideration, I think, of the leadership that you all are demonstrating. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another council member who has a question for the YKHC team?
This is Council Member Leary. I'll kind of play devil's advocate here, and I'll see if anyone from the YK team could just kind of, you know, for the public, what do you think it would do to our case numbers if people truly hunkered down in Bethel and in surrounding villages too? But I mean, what do you think it would do to our numbers in Bethel if people really took this to heart and, you know, took it as their responsibility to play their part in reducing this? How do you think that could turn this around? Thank you.
Hi, this is Dan. We already know it will turn it around because we've already had that success here with several villages already that had community spread in them earlier this year. They hunkered down through their tribal leadership, adopting these public health strategies, communicating them, aligning their messages with us at YKHC, and then increased testing in their villages. And in a 2 to 4 week period, they were able to break the cycle of transmission. And we saw that through our contact tracing. And Dr. Hodges and Bates, please jump in.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with Dan. We know this works. These are public health measures that have worked all over the world. This is a global pandemic, and we're not the only ones that are suffering from this right now. If you watch the news, the cases are ballooning all over the United States and all over the world. And I think that's the thing, is the only treatment we have for this, so to speak, is prevention. And we know that hunker down and shelter in place and universal masking and frequent hand washing, these are the tools we know work. And the trick is every citizen of the YK Delta has to participate in this. There's no one person or one entity that can do all the things to prevent this. This is all of us have to participate in this. We all have to be part of the solution. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is so hard to comprehend, is that there's no one thing that will work to do this. And we have to adopt all of these strategies. And we must do it now. I can't emphasize the urgency of this anymore. We are in danger of overwhelming our healthcare system.